My dear friends, I was travelling from a funeral in South Donegal on the 7th of October last when I received a telephone call that there had been an explosion at the filling station and shop in Creasla, where the Church of St. Michael is situated and where I am based. Upon my arrival 1 hour later at the site of the explosion, I immediately became self-conscious that the scale of the tragedy unfolding before my eyes was larger than anything I had ever experienced or indeed ever wanted to experience. The initial scene was one of tremendous shock, horror, disbelief. It was surreal, and yet the fear of the worst to come was staring us in the face as I prayed over the bodies of those first to be recovered from the building. In many senses, it was as if I were in a parallel universe, that what I was witnessing was not real, but sadly, it was all too real. The silence was deafening. Not even could you hear a bird song other than the rattle of machinery and people trying their best to search for those who were missing. One of the first things I did there was to speak to the last of the injured and others who were involved in the explosion. From the outset, it was very evident that there was a heartache there. It was a very difficult scene. From the very outset, I was also aware that many challenges were facing us. A sense of trepidation hit me momentarily, and for those few seconds, I became so afraid of my own limited abilities. But then, immediately, I drew on my faith, asking Jesus to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit upon us and asking our Mother, Mary, particularly Mary as Lady of Knock, to wrap her mantle around me and around all the people, asking Jesus to guide me along the path that I must travel in order to help our community. Our Lady, I believe, from that moment was there present, Our Lady of Knock, and never let me down anytime I prayed to her. And she gave hope. She gave hope to the people here in a time of distress. And she continues to give that hope in an unspoken way by her presence, pointing to her Son, Jesus. The first public response in those hours from me to the outside world was to ask all to pray for our community, asking those there present to pray, and through the media and through social media, to those who were tuning in from their homes, many of them family members of loved ones who were missing, asking them also to pray. My dear friends, this calling for prayer and support for our community, to those from outside our geographical community in the tragedy, was preparing the ground for the awful news that would follow into that night, into the next day and the days ahead. By this call to prayer, I knew that we were very much in need of prayer, but it was also a forewarning to those on the outside, to the families outside the cordon and so on, that the greatest possible tragedy had fallen on us, and I was trying to specify the scale of the tragedy by that call to prayer, by not giving too much detail in order not to overwhelm those who were watching in, trying to gently guide the community and preparing the people for the human loss that would be significant. The loss of human life is always significant, the loss of family, loved ones, friends, and neighbours. I also realised that this was not without challenge. Such was the media interest, yet I knew I had to engage with the media at the same time. And all I wanted to do also at that time was just to be there for the people. But I believed it was important that we got the right message out into the media and social media, that we were a very small community, a village of 400 people, going through our darkest hours and days in this small, quiet, quaint community. And I also wanted to get that message out, that we needed space in which to grieve. And I believe, for the most part, journalists were very sympathetic to that call and showed great empathy with those who were, sadly, the bereaved in that tragedy. The tragedy that robbed us of 10 beautiful souls, left a number of people injured and many, many people traumatised, left an extreme grief in its trail. I was also aware of my own limitations, and I also turned to others who could help me and who could give me guidance. People I knew who had different talents to me, people I knew who knew more than me. The important thing was not to be afraid to realise that I was limited, and to ask for help, and also to ask help from those who were emotionally detached from the situation, who could help me and guide me, because I was very emotionally attached to the situation. Dear friends, presence in time of tragedy is all important. I believed my role in collaboration, in cooperation with the prisoners, with the community, the prisoners who were my family, my other family, with their help and the help of friends, my desire was to help all to see that pathway which Christ was shining his light on to help us through the tragedy. Our community had its very heart ripped out in this terrible and awful tragedy, and was going through also what other small communities have experienced in tragedy in our country and in other places around the world. Dear friends, I was doing what so many priests did before me, and so many priests have done since the accident in Chrysler, and continue to do with other clergy from other denominations in our country. Dear friends, that is to shine a light, the light of Christ, on a pathway to bring us through. My motivation was to do that. God was my motivator, and I relied on people, parishioners, fellow clergy from all denominations, family and friends, to help me. The next step I saw was to provide a focal point for each person who died. With the help of a friend, I was guided towards lighting 7-day sanctuary lamps, one red candle for each person who died and for their bereaved. I also decided to light a white candle for all who were injured and keep that lit until the last person came home from hospital before Christmas. I wanted those red lights because the red candle, the sanctuary light, symbolizes for us the presence of Christ, the presence of Christ in our midst, the light of Christ shining through the darkness of the pain and tragedy we were experiencing. That was so important. After the vigil on the Saturday evening, or rather during the vigil, Bishop Alan McGuckian lit each candle individually to remember those who had died. And those candles remain lighted on our altar for 7 days. I kept the light and heat on in the church during the night, as I wanted people to have a place to go into. I kept the live streaming on during the night, and many, many people focused into our church through the live streaming also during the night. The 10 candles became somewhat a symbol of the tragedy, symbolizing God's presence to us even in the darkest and worst hours. Reflecting back on the first critical 48 hours of the incident in Chrysler, I was guided by my faith in trying to make a pathway, trying to help people to cope with the enormity of grief. Dear friends, it was a tsunami that hit us, but we were also lifted by a tidal wave of support that came from everywhere, so many countries around the world, all across this country, from people themselves who lost children, loved ones, parents, siblings who lost loved ones through tragedy, from schools, from places of work, from fellow clergy. That support came in a tangible way and in a prayerful way from so many people. From this shrine, we received such support from Father Richard and from others, and masses and prayers, and the same was true all around the country. Dear friends, what we did was simple in those days. It was simplicity. It was Christianity at its simplest. That was presence. Dear friends, the silence in those hours also worried me, and the grief that you could see in grown men and women in their hundreds and in young people. So I believed that it was so important to keep the church as that focal point. And the rosary each night provided an opportunity at 9 o'clock each night for the people to come together and be together. Those who were injured were in the church, those of the bereaved, and those who assisted and who were very traumatized in bringing out injured and people who had died in that tragedy. Our church was at the center of the pastoral response. It was the bulwark of our community. It was the living church, truly alive. Among the most comforting moments for me was when both Bishop Allen and Archbishop Eamon Martin and I prayed with young people, again Bishop Allen and Bishop Andrew. The Church of Ireland bishop prayed with young people and workmen, and that was very important, the pastoral response from all the different denominations as well. Before I began the first funeral, I went to the site where the explosion took place on the Tuesday morning, and I prayed there at that site with a member of the Gardaí. And then we saw a young boy going to school, and that gave me great strength. A young boy on his way to school in the midst of so much pain, so much heartache, and so much tragedy. I felt God was telling me that there is hope, that we must continue to hope, and we must do everything now for the bereaved and live for the living. As I prayed for the strength for the week for the funeral masses that lay ahead, the teachers kept our schools open, providing a focal point once again to bring children together. Dear friends, the more the reality of Chrysler resonated with the wider community, the more we in Chrysler drew strength from the prayer that was sent to us. Those who rushed into the building, not assessing the risk to their own lives, were truly the hands of Christ at work. People came, emergency and civic services, from the Republic and from Northern Ireland. The generosity of people who give so much. Our president came and spent the week in Chrysler, Michael D. Higgins, and he showed very much a fatherly care towards those who were bereaved, towards those who were injured. And we were comforted by the support from political leaders and their representatives. But the greatest support came, I believe, also in the form of the cards and letters written by men and women, written by some of you that I have met here today, from your own homes. The prayers of Pope Francis meant so very much to us. The sending of rosaries, a very tangible act by him, to our community, was greatly appreciated. Dear friends, our church is at its strongest when out among its community, people caring for one another and united with others. Our church is best as a field hospital at the heart of its community, as Pope Francis reminds us, caring for others, looking after others, reaching out to people. Dear friends, Our churches are beautiful. This beautiful basilica, it is made of mortar, yet beautiful. But what is most important is the church here gathered this evening. You, the living blocks inside it. And that's what was important so much in Chrysler and in all our communities. Our church is our strongest bond in Chrysler. It is our home within our community, as are our churches throughout the country. The church was the guiding light through the darkest days of that tragedy in Chrysler. Chrysler is a small village that few heard of unless they could sing that song, Cutting the Corn in Chrysler. I can't sing. However, that was changed through this cruel and unfair tragedy that befell us. But we are surviving and we are gaining strength and becoming stronger. Our hearts will never forget those who are taking from us. But God was with us, as was Our Lady, as were others who among you who prayed for us and others who helped. Dear friends, it is not the tragedies that we encounter in life that shape us. It is how we overcome those challenges and become stronger in faith and true to God. And the message of God is simple. It was simple in Chrysler. The message of God is relevant. It was relevant in Chrysler. The message that God first gave to us, to reach out to others, to care for others, and reach beyond ourselves. Just in the week ahead in this novena, we have people such as Geraldine Mullen, Elma Walsh, coming to speak. People who themselves know great grief, but they have that ability to reach out beyond themselves, beyond their own grief, to help others. One of the people who came to help us at a concert to give thanks to the emergency services after Chrysler was Claire Gallagher, a young girl from secondary school who was blinded in the Oma bombing, of which we remember all the victims also of that bombing that took place 25 years ago. That ability to reach beyond oneself was something that was a hallmark of Chrysler also. Bereaved families ministering to one another, reaching out, attending wakes and so on. Dear friends, this is a very special place, this basilica and its grounds. It was here that I first came after the Chrysler tragedy, where I prayed the rosary. I think the rosary is like a rope with little notches in it. It's very hard to pull yourself up on a rope, but if you have little notches in it, the beads, they bring us closer and closer to that relationship with God. Here I gained, like so many before me, and so many who will come after me, so much comfort when I celebrated Mass with Father Michael McCullough. I received also so much comfort. My prayer for you this evening is, and I've spoken to many today, that you will receive comfort and consolation from our Blessed Mother here this evening. I want to thank you, and I ask you to please continue to pray for us.